Hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. I know some of you are already on hold. I can see you here. We're going to grab your phone calls. If you want to join me and you're new to the chapel, I received an email earlier today from a woman who says, a friend of mine told me about the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and I've only been listening to you for 3 weeks, but my gosh, thank you so much. She talked about how it really has impacted her. So, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know we do this every day. If you are a regular, tell one other person, okay? Get them plugged into the power, the beauty, the grace that flows during this hour. It's extraordinary. God is moved by our prayers. Miracles happen on a daily basis here, and I'm so grateful to say that. And I want to share some of your intentions as well. But I was just struck. I was thinking about God's mercy earlier today. I went to Mass this morning, and I was coming back, and I just think about, you know, we're all human, right? We all make mistakes, right? And I think so often you can live guilty, right? You can blame yourself. You can live with regret for that infidelity in your relationship, for that abortion that you had, for the ways you failed to be a good parent, for whatever it may be. And sometimes we think our sin is so great, right? That, you know, we can't understand, you know, why God would even want to bless us. But, you know, the beauty of God's mercy is this. Even when you make a mistake, God's not only going to take you out of it, he's going to clean up the mess you made. That's the relationship that God has with you, right? He brings good out of every situation. Of course, you've got the classic biblical story of Job, right, who gets swallowed by the whale. He didn't want to do God's will. Look how God brought good out of that situation. I can go back in my own life and think of how many times I said no to God, or I failed, or I did something, and the Lord somehow, some way brought good out of that. And I think the Lord does that to show us he's always with us. He loves us. That mercy is his greatest attribute. And maybe so that next time you won't fail. Look, you grow in your faith. It's like building a muscle. You know, and there's so many times I've doubted God and I have failed God, but he never failed me. He always would come through in the 11th hour and 59th minute with his mercy. He'd always rescue me. And I would vow to God, God, I'll never doubt you again. I swear. Oh my gosh, you're so good. I love you. Thank you. And what happens? I'm faced with another trial of life. And I wonder where he is, and this situation is too big, and whatever. And what happens? God comes through, you know? God always will come through. God will never abandon you, all right? I want you to know that. God will never abandon you. I've come to learn that, and one of my big regrets of life is how many times I failed God, and how many times I've doubted him. I'm thinking, why would I do that? You know, it takes a lot of boldness to believe that God will still bless you in spite of your mistakes, that he'll somehow bring good out of this horrible situation that you face. The enemy does not want you to believe that God is good, that he is merciful, that he's on your side, that he can make good out of your wrong. You know, the psalmist says you can never get away from God, right? Psalm 136 or 139, somewhere in there. God's always there. He's with you through this difficult time. So I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that no matter what you've done in the past, God loves you. He wants to forgive you. He hears your prayers today. No matter how many times you've fallen, it's not too late to get back up again. It's not too late to become your best. God's going to open new doors for you. He's going to give you new opportunities. He's going to make up for those failures, for that lost time. Because his mercy is bigger than any mistake you've ever had, okay? His mercy is greater than your rejection. And I'll tell you what, he's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to fulfill it. So let's pray for that today. Let's pray that he removes those obstacles, heals those wounds, those memories, and that he shows you he can bring good. You know, so you can see the good that he can bring out of your situation. I'm joined today by one of my colleagues, Celine, and it's good to pray with her. Celine, thanks for joining me today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jerome. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. Anything you want to pray for as we begin the chapel today?
Yes, I do. I have a grandmother who is in poor health, and my aunt and mom take very good care of her, but it's a trial, and so I pray for peace for her and wisdom for them.
All right, we'll lift them up right now to our spiritual family, to our merciful Lord, and we'll pray. I do want to pray for just a couple intentions. Last night I was going through the litany of emails that have come into my inbox for the chaplet, and I'm grateful for everyone who's written answered prayers. Some of these intentions are just so big. I want to pray for the family of Gabby Petito. As you know, the news broke the other day that she died by strangulation. So we pray for justice and also for mercy on her family. And we pray for her soul and for all those who were involved. I want to send out a giant thank you to Barbara Dries, I should say. and her family. Barbara, I want to thank you very much for your generosity. You know, she knows I'm from Philadelphia, and I know her. And she sent me a surprise. I went into the office yesterday, and there was a big box of Philadelphia pretzels and a bunch of stuff from Philly, a little taste of Philly. So I want to pray for you and for your family today, and thank you for your generosity. Also, I want to pray for this family. You know, you talk about the death of Gabby Petito. I got an email yesterday. There was a 21-year-old. Her name was Avery. She died in a car accident today. And her mom is flying to Colorado to bring her body back home. The person says, could you please pray for her family and friends? Another person writes, could you pray for my husband? He died a month ago. His name is Jerry. And I'm sure she misses him very much. Also, please pray for our dear mother. Only 62 years, hardworking all of her life, full-time job, raised 5 kids. She's now diagnosed with liver disease and possible cancer. Would you pray that God spare her of this diagnosis? And one other one here, could you pray for our daughter's friend who's being deported back to London? We'll have to serve time in a detention center before being deported. All right, we'll pray for those intentions and so many others that have come in. And, of course, Maggie will take your intentions off of Twitter. We'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our very first call today. I believe Anna is calling us. She's listening in California. Hi, Anna. Good afternoon. Did I get your name right? Is it Anna or Ina?
Anna, Ina. It's the same. It depends if you're saying it in Spanish or in English. But thank you for accepting my call. My cousin just passed away this morning.
Oh, no. Sorry.
He was in the ICU, and he was really young. He's like in his early 30s, and he's a little son behind. And for my other cousin, too, that he passed away about 2 or 3 weeks ago, if you could guys please pray for their souls. My cousin Greg and my cousin Seraphine, and they're both in the same family. Their cousin.
My gosh, how tragic to lose so many people so young and so close. Count on our prayers. We'll pray right now for them. I'm going to pray for you too, for all your personal needs, for your family. Lord, I give you all those who mourn. Again, I give you this beautiful family. Pray for her cousin Greg, who passed away this morning. Lord, I pray for all those you're calling home today, in the not too distant future, for the hour of our own death. I pray for the Petito family and all these other intentions I just voiced, a mother who lost her child in a car accident. Lord, you know the day and the hour in which we are going to call to stand before you and prayerfully enter into paradise. And I just pray you give us the grace in those final moments to choose you. I pray for those who may not have been right with you, Lord, that you meet them as their merciful Savior by virtue of these prayers, that you have given them the grace in that final moment to choose you. And I thank you for your mercy. You know, the Lord told St. Faustine, it's God's greatest attribute, that no mind, be human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom the depths of his mercy. That's the great mystery, I believe, of the afterlife, something we'll forever contemplate. And I thank you for that. And I trust in that. As I pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. My next call comes from Pat. She's praying in Chicago. Hi, Pat. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. And thank you for taking my call. Thank you for all your inspirations, your kind words, and everything you do for all of us through Relevant Radio. I'm calling in regards for a friend, Kathy, who is a retired nurse. She was in a head-on car accident, and she's had four operations within 1 week. Both her arms were broken, her leg, her thigh, a bone was sticking out of her thigh, and also she had to have an operation on her heel. She's going to be released from the hospital and be in rehab for 3 months, and then it's another 3 months of therapy. So she's got a long road ahead. So I ask for her mind, her stability, her strength, and for God's curing of all these different bones and everything in her body, that they will heal properly and she can continue to live her life.
Amen. Well, let's thank God for her life. What a violent and horrible car accident that sounded like. And Pat, I want to pray for you too, for all of your intentions, but thank you for bringing this to our family here, and let's pray. We'll pray for you. Lord, I give you this retired labor and delivery nurse who is in a head-on automobile accident. Lord, here's the thing. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when we wake up one morning healthy and full of life, when accident or tragedy is going to befall us. So, Lord, I pray for all who are praying with me now and for their loved ones, and I just ask for a blanket of protection over them. I give you this particular soul, all those in ICU, all those facing surgery, now all those in recovery. I pray for this woman for complete and total recovery, for the healing of her bones and her mind and her body. And I just ask for those who are angered, holding on to that anger because of the act of violence that has been perpetrated against them, or the fact that they were a victim of a car accident and they have suffering now. But I just ask for emotional healing as well as the physical, as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I want to thank you for praying for me, too. I know a lot of people have been praying for me. I had a special intention. And here's the deal. You know, I didn't really get the answer I wanted. I think the Lord is telling me, wait, not now. I said to my wife this morning, I said, sometimes God says yes instantly. Sometimes he says no. It's pretty clear. A lot of times God says not now. He wants us to persist in our prayer and in our faith and in our walk with him. And I think that's where I am right now. So I'm grateful for your prayers. And just wanted to update you on that. Maggie is taking our Twitter intentions today. And Maggie, what are we asked to pray for?
Yeah, it looks like Deb wrote to us asking for prayers for Mick Miller. She says, first of all, thank you. Thanks to the Lord, because he's been approved for some medicine that he needs so that he can get back to his chemo treatments. But his cancer has been growing. So let's pray for healing for him. Annalisa wrote and said she's asking for prayers that her parents' lab work will come out all good, and also would like to pray for our nation. Tammy Jane is asking for prayers for her son's deliverance from addiction, for the healing of his mind and organs. And Lucy wrote to us asking for prayers for Michael, who is dealing with COVID.
All right, let's lift them up and we'll add to those intentions, all very important, all that have come into my inbox here at the show, and we'll bring Yvette into the conversation too. She's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Yvette. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. First of all, for the intention of the repose of the soul of our good friend of ours, Odella, who passed away 3 days ago from COVID, and for my new family, the intentions of Mariano, Jim, his wife Erin, his kids Sebastian in Georgia, and in particular for Erin, who's battling cancer. I want to tie that to my mom, who's battling cancer, colon cancer. 90% on her liver, it spread to. She's 60 pounds. I just got off the phone with her. I said, Mom, I'm going to pray for you, to Sister Lucia. Maybe she needs one more miracle to get her to sainthood. Complete healing. I want her to be completely healed of cancer, the diarrhea to stop, and then she can gain weight. And I said, we're going to make a trip with our family to Fatima in Thanksgiving. And God is good. And with God, all things are possible. So I just want to, you know, cancer is just such a hard illness to deal with. And my prayers go out to everyone that has family members that are dealing with that. And maybe this is a day of massive miracles on this beautiful feast day.
It is. Yvette, hang in there, okay? We're praying for you. We're going to pray for your mother, too. We'll certainly blanket her in that prayer. And I love the fact you're calling upon the blessed. You're calling upon the saints. And today, if you are unaware, it's October 13th. It's a great Fatima anniversary, as she was referring to. Today is the day of the great miracle of the sun. And Our Lady appeared with St. Joseph and the child Jesus. And well, I'll share much more of that with you coming up. It's an amazing event. But let's call upon those Fatima seers who've gone before us. Let's call upon Our Lady, and let's bring to all to the throne of God all those who have cancer, all their loved ones who are concerned about them as well. And Lord, I just lift up this 84-year-old mother. We give you Angelina and all in the fight against cancer. And I pray for healing. I pray for miracles. And I pray for the vanquishing of this disease, Lord, as I pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Marianne in Mesa, Arizona. Good afternoon, Marianne.
Hi, Drew. Hi. I met a lady at church Sunday. She was lighting candles. Her name is Annette. She asked for prayers. Her best friend, Nancy, dying of cancer any minute. Nancy is a fallen away Catholic, as is her husband. And she asked me to please pray. I said, oh, I'll try to get through the relevant. So we'll say chaplet for you. So for Nancy, who's dying, and that her husband allows the priest in to give her last rites.
Great prayers. All right, I'm glad you got through. It was providential. And let's pray for you, too. But I will pray for your friend dying of cancer. Pray for Nancy and for the conversion of her husband's heart. I just pray that that woman can have a priest come and give her last rites. But, you know, God's merciful. These prayers are so powerful, so efficacious. And Lord, we ask you do come to meet this woman dying of cancer, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. And I say this a lot. I think it's an important message from the diary. The Lord told us to pray as much as we can for the dying, because our prayers are so important in these final moments when they need it most and they have it the least. And the Lord told Faustina that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in this moment depends on your prayer. So it's an honor and a privilege to pray for her and for all those that God is calling home. Lord, we ask you answer all the prayers of Marianne, all that were cited. I ask the same for all those who are now praying with us. We turn to you with faith, with confidence as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jean is praying in Illinois as well. Good afternoon, Jean. Good afternoon.
Jean?
That's you. Did yeah, you great to Jean? Have you. Welcome. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a very close friend, and her daughter has just been found with a lot of cancer in the abdomen, including her liver. And she also has a daughter-in-law, my friend's daughter-in-law. Her name is Jo. And she has a heart valve that's failing on her. And so she's under close watch with her cardiologist. And I have a grandson, a great-grandson who's 15. He had heart surgery for his valve. And they put in a cadaver's valve. And they were so happy with it, but then it shrank. And now they don't know what to do right now because he's still healing from this first heart surgery through his chest. So it's very precarious. And so I'm asking for a miracle from the Lord to heal him. And I pray for everyone who has family that needs to come back to the Lord along with mine, and that God will bless them. They will return to the church.
Gene, I'm with you in that prayer, all right? And we're going to pray for that great-grandson of yours. What a blessing. God's given you such a wonderful family. Let's pray for your family and all these intentions. It seems that today cancer is one of those intentions that has come up just about in every decade. And Lord, I ask for your mercy. You're bigger than cancer. You can vanquish it in a heartbeat. You can heal in an instant. Mark 9:23, great scripture verse. It says, anything is possible for those who believe. So Lord, I pray for this young man who has had heart surgery, for his recovery and for his healing, and for all those facing impossible situations who need miracles in their life, who are crying out to you now for answers and solutions to all of the situations that seem to be swirling around them. And I stand on that scripture that anything is possible for those who believe. I believe, I pray now with great faith, trust, and confidence on behalf of all those united with me. We implore your mercy, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God. Holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you Fatima seers,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Celine, amen. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying with me as well. Stay with me. When we come back, you're going to hear an amazing story. One of my favorites. I'll share it with you right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
There was no imagining that they had been soaking wet and they were dry. And they were standing in water and now they were on dry land. And they were feeling the soil, looking at each other in amazement. But it was unanimous. They had all thought they were going to die. But some of them weren't afraid. And those who I talked to who weren't afraid were daily communicants.
All present, even atheists and skeptics, witnessed this great miracle, and testimonials filled the newspapers.
You are not alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Boy, what an amazing miracle. A lot of people doubted these children, you know, and the fact that the Mother of God was appearing to them, these shepherd children. And yet people came from all over. They estimate 70,000 to 100,000 people were there that day. And as you heard in the piece, it's an excerpt from one of the documentaries I did with Joe Campanella, and I highlighted this great luminary phenomena. The sun, which many people physically saw plummet from the sky, have a direct effect on reality. The ground was soaked, dried instantly. Their clothes dried instantly. And what I find so amazing about this, not one astronomical observatory anywhere in the entire planet noted any deviation in the sun. So was it actually the sun that moved? Was it a ball of fire, some spiritual entity? What was it? What we do know is that that mud-soaked ground they were on, their clothes were definitely affected. So it had a definite effect on reality. And I think it was also a portent of things to come. Those who saw it are not alive today. There are people, though, whose parents saw it, and their children heard the story firsthand from them. One of those children is Alice Israel. Her father, Dominic, I think it's Reese. Reese is how I think you say his last name. Was 17 years old at the time of these apparitions, and he and his parents lived, I think, 100 miles from Fatima, but they made the trip anyway. As word spread, there would be a great sign. 3 years later, he actually came to the States. He emigrated to the States, ended up in the great state of Massachusetts in the western part of the state, and he became an emissary of Our Lady. He did a lot of different interviews, and his story is an amazing one. Alice is with me today. Alice, thank you for joining me. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Drew, and it's an honor to be here.
Well, bring us back in time. What an extraordinary opportunity to be there and witness, I think, one of the greatest miracles of the 20th century. There's no doubt that this is an amazing, you know, event, a sign from heaven. So tell us what happened. Bring us back in time.
Okay, I will. First of all, I guess you would like to know how did my father come to be at that location,
sure,
of the miracle at that time. And during that time, his parents and my grandparents decided that they were going to travel to Fatima on October 11th. And on October 12th, they took the train from Porto. And on October 13th, they left Lira, and at 6 a.m., they traveled to Fatima, which is where the Covadilla was. Right. And they arrived there around noon. And this is the first time it was known that a miracle was going to happen before that Our Lady had promised that there would be a sign and that this would be the time and the place. Even though many were skeptic and many were very, very devoted to Our Lady, but there were also those that were going because they did not believe. But my father described what he saw, and I would like to share that verbatim
on an interview, please.
If you don't mind me sharing that.
Go ahead. Normally I don't like when people read, but absolutely, because I read his testimony earlier, so please share it.
Okay, these are my father's words and not mine. As my father had described it, with 3 inches of water and mud on the ground, and I was soaking wet, the sun started to break through the clouds, and we could see the sun. And now it was raining, just like you opened a faucet in your house. Rain, hard rain. And then suddenly the rain stopped. The sun started to roll from one place to another, changing in colors of blue and yellow and other colors. Suddenly we saw that the sun was coming toward the children and toward the tree. Everyone was hollering and screaming out of fear. We were all so afraid. Some knelt down and started to confess their sins openly before everyone. Even my mother grabbed me to herself and started to cry, saying, "Dominic, Dominic, this is the end of the world." I was looking at the crowd screaming as the sun was actually falling. It had turned upon itself and fallen down. And at that moment, I saw the sun on my left shoulder, wrapped in the clouds. It was on my shoulder, and I could have touched it. I was filled with fear. This was the end of the world. Then the sun went back into the tree where the little children were, and within minutes, the children got up and turned around toward the people. Lucia said, "Everything is going to be all right. Pray and pray hard. Pray the rosary every day for sinners around the world." But God was too much offended. Within minutes, the sun went back the way that it came in. My father was injured by a bayonet puncture through his left hand as he tried to protect his father from the charging soldiers on horses, rushing towards the crowds of people. There were so many people pushing forward that the soldiers finally gave up. The people were able to move closer to the children. I was about 75 to 100 feet from where the children were kneeling in front of the home oak tree. As soon as the sun went back into the right place and the wind started to blow real hard, but the trees didn't move at all. The wind was blowing and blowing, and in a few minutes the ground was dry. As dry as the floor here. Even our clothes had dried. We were walking here and there, and our clothes we didn't feel at all. The clothes were dry and looked as though they had been come from the cleaners. I believe, though, either that I am out of my mind or this was a miracle, a real miracle. And that was my father's story as he told it on our World Apostle of Fatima. On his 1960 interview.
That's how he recounts it. Was he filled with fear when that took place?
Absolutely filled with fear, yes. Even though you have faith, just imagining that the sun was so hot and the heat of it was right upon you, I'm sure everyone was, I would be afraid. I'd be filled with fear. I'd be on my knees praying. Absolutely.
It was interesting. John Hafford, who is the founder of the Blue Armor, who interviewed a number of people, including your father, said that those who were close to God sometimes did not have this fear. Those who are away sometimes did. And everybody's experience was different. But I'm with you. If I saw a ball of fire plummeting towards the earth, I felt the heat, I felt my clothes beginning to dry, I would be filled with incredible fear. I'm joined today by Alice Israel, folks. Her father, who was 17 years old at the time, a senior in high school, when he traveled to Fatima, Portugal, on October the 13th, 1917, for this great Fatima miracle. Traveled over 100 miles with his mother and father. And there he witnessed something that few in the history of the world have ever been able to gaze upon. You know, he recounts that he got actually wounded by a bayonet trying to protect his own father. What happened there? Were authorities trying to keep people from the cova?
Yes, they were. They were the lieutenants and the military were on horses as they charged, and they were trying to break into the corners. And finally, they gave up because the people were pulling them down. And as my as they were charging, my father stood in front of his father, and one of the bayonets was coming forward, and he put his hand up. And it was funny because when I first saw the movie of my father after looking and searching for 50 years, and I saw the interview with John Hafford through Our Lady showing that it was there 50 years later, my father was talking in broken English, and I was laughing listening to him, you know, because he always said, talk English, talk English. But his hand went up, and I saw the wound on his left hand. So I stopped the DVD or CD or whatever they're called, and I saw the wound. And I started to laugh, and I said to Our Lady, I said, oh, there it is, there it is. So it was...
That's amazing. I'm curious, too. I mean, what the reaction of other people there were. Did he ever share with you the reaction of others who were there, what they said, how they felt, what it was like when this was over?
I was young. I was 10 or 12 years old at the time. If anyone would know, it would be my older brothers or sisters who have passed. I'm 74, so I wish that I could say that I would know more about it. All I know is from traveling with him, in his story and being with him in all of his trips.
You know, the other thing, Alice, I find really, it was always kind of a weird anomaly regarding this miracle of the sun. It wasn't that the ground dried or the clothes dried, but your father recounts that, you know, or maybe it wasn't him, it was others that said when the sun retracted, their clothes were clean as if though that they had been professionally clean, almost like to a dry cleaner, if you will. Have you heard that? I mean, like they walked through 3 inches of mud. He said he was in 3 inches of water and mud. That mud's all over your pants, all over your clothes, your capes, everything else. And yet it was gone, huh? It just vanished?
Correct. He did say that. That is part of his interview with John Hafford, that the clothes, when they stood up, were as clean as if they had come from the cleaners.
Wow.
And I believe them.
Yeah, no, I do too. I mean, hey, look, if the sun's going to plummet, the ground's going to dry instantly, God's above the laws of nature. He can certainly suspend them. Why not just, you know, add another layer to this incredible, this great, great miracle? It had to have a profound impact on him at 17 years of age. Did it change his spirituality, his life? What did this Fatima miracle do for him?
Well, when he was 20, in 1920, he left Portugal and never returned. It changed his life that he knew that he had been given a gift to share, and he spent the rest of his life telling his story that he had witnessed that the great miracle. And he was devoted, and he was a stonemason by trade. He built, we lived on the fourth floor flat of a 6 to 8 block radius, and he would take big blocks of stone, 6 feet, 7 feet tall, and the first one he chiseled was Our Lady Fatima, and he also did the terrain and built the whole scene of the Covadonga with the children and the shepherd, the sheep, and he also built a wishing well in front of it. It was magnificent. And at the bottom of Our Lady, he also built the Portuguese flag. And that's why I remember that it was his. And I knew it would be his because his was the only one that had the flag at the bottom of it, you know, below her feet.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, what a privilege it is that you have to share this great miracle. I'm sure your father's interceding for you. And
yes,
I love his testimony. I'm glad that they were able to record it because a lot of people get skeptical of these types of things. They think, that's a story. That really didn't happen. But 70,000 to 100,000 people encounter this. And he said he could look at the sun without pain to his eyes. He stared at the sun, his eyes unharmed. The other thing that I found intriguing about his statement, too, is that he could actually feel the heat. So literally there was a heat, a supernatural heat. I don't know, a sun. Did he really believe it was the sun? Was it the sun or did they think it was divine? He says, I could feel the heat. It was coming so close. It was on his left shoulder. He said he could, you know, he could have touched it. What did he experience there? Did everybody unanimously think it was the sun because it left its position, then returned to its normal position?
I believe that everyone believed that it was the sun.
Yeah, maybe it was. It probably was.
Yes.
That's just so amazing. What's the relevance of Fatima today? People tend to become very apathetic when it comes to things of the faith, unfortunately, sometimes. And yet I think the Fatima message is just as relevant today as it has ever been. But your thoughts?
Well, the message of Fatima is more important today. We are totally challenged in our time and in our world. There's so much conflict and fear, and we must return to our roots and pray and go back to praying the rosary and taking care of one another and lifting one another up and getting back to the church and taking care of our young and our old. You know, Our Lady's waiting for all of us as children to say yes. She has been in pain, and we have been praying, and hopefully we will continue to pray. And this is going to be the beginning, and I believe that there will be a change. Well, I know that there will be a change. We are truly blessed.
We are, and I'm blessed to have you here. I mean, one of the great messages of Fatima is a call to penance and to prayer especially of the rosary. And that's something we can all do today and carry the message of Fatima on. It's a powerful prayer. I believe the rosary had a lot to do with the fall of communism. I think for years,
absolutely,
people prayed to that Blue Army. Not one bullet was fired, yet the Iron Curtain collapsed. And of course, John Paul consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart. But
this Alice, has been wonderful.
I want to thank you for being with me. Just a great, great story to share. And to me, it just once again reinforces that God's real, that He is an intimate part of our life. Nothing's impossible with Him. You know, the sun can dance.
Nothing is impossible with Him. And I would also like to share that for those that are listening, it is so important to get online and find blogs. I am not techie, but let me tell you, since I just found The World Apostle of Fatima, I found Dave Carollo telling the story about my father.
Wow.
And that's where I found it. Our Lady was bothering me. I'll say bother me. I wasn't sleeping for weeks and weeks at a time. And finally, I was able to get a webcam, and I saw Dave talking about the Fatima miracle, and that's when I found my father. Thank you so very much. It's been a blessing and an honor, and I thank you.
Yeah, well, please,
have a wonderful day.
Please pray for us. I'll be praying my rosary later today. I'll pray for you and your family, too, okay?
Thank you so very much.
Get connected
at facebook.com/Drew Mariani Show.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, good afternoon. So good to be back here with you. I such a love just talking about this stuff and diving back in and seeing how God constantly is revealing His love and His mercy for us. I love the story of the great miracle of the sun. We'll talk much more about it, but let me grab a call or two here. I only have a couple minutes on this side of the clock, and we'll be talking much more about that. Plus, on this day, on October 13th, 1973, another event took place. I'll fill you in on what happened there to another mystic, another great visionary that I had seen and had the opportunity to talk to. Catherine is listening in Medford Lakes, New Jersey. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there today. Thanks.
Good. I love the story of Fatima. I love the steadfast resolve of the visionaries. I mean, I can't imagine going through that as children. But what I've never understood is why the miracle of the sun was such a terrifying event instead of a comforting event. I just don't understand that, because it must have been extremely terrifying, as your person who read her father's story said. But do you have any light you can shed on that?
I actually do, and that's such a wonderful question, Catherine. Thank you, because John Hafford, who was the founder of the Blue Army, he was the great proponent of spreading the message of Our Lady of Fatima. I had the privilege of spending some time with him and talking to him years ago for a documentary I was working on. And to your point, you have to imagine what the people were seeing. You know, it had rained. There was mud everywhere. This miracle was prophesied. Nobody really knew what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, the sun begins to spin wildly for 4 minutes, not just a few seconds, but for 4 minutes, this orb, this burning object, you know, began to spin in the sky. They say people in villages 15 miles away witness this. So it was not just a mass hallucination there on the COVID era, but this cycle, they say, it repeated itself twice over the, it stopped for a minute and then another 4 minutes it went on, and suddenly the sun came crashing towards the earth. And as you heard in that interview, there was an intense heat, and it caused panic, it caused terror, it caused fear, even among villagers who were 3 miles away, which steadily increases the sun grew both in its size and its mass. And fearing the sun was going to crash upon the crowd, people fell to their knees. They made these fervent contritions. At the very last minute, you know, the sun reverted and the ground was dry. It turned back to its normal position in the sky. And the people discovered, my gosh, my clothes have dried. The thick mud was now solid, dry earth once again. John Hafford said to me, if you were in that situation, what would you experience? And I thought, God, I'd be terrified. He says, here's the interesting thing about it. He says, for a majority of people, there was fear. There was terror. He says, but what was interesting, those who were daily communicants, those who were close to God, had no fear during that experience. But those who had attachment to sin had a very different experience. So, Catherine, that was one little side note. I don't know if that's written down anywhere. Maybe the Blue Army has it. But I always found that striking. Those who were close to God, those in a relationship with him, those who were living a just and moral life, those going to Mass on a daily basis, did not find this as a fearful experience. It was those who were not close to God who did. So there was two different experiences that unfolded that day. So I guess it depends where you are with your walk with God. And a lot of people came. A lot of people came that day. They came just out of curiosity, so because they heard about this. Yeah, God bless you. Good to hear from you, Catherine. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a lesson to us. I mean, the message of Fatima over 100 years now, but it's very relevant to Catherine's point and to this event itself. Where you are with God makes a big difference in life, and I talk about this all the time. If you're right with God, if you are just, if you are moral, if you are pure, there's a resonance with your prayers before the throne of God. I really believe that. The one who prays does not fear the future, the Virgin Mary once said. And the one who fasts does not fear evil. So when you're right with God, the future, death, fear, natural calamities, the situations of life, they pale in comparison. But if you are away from God, if you are attached to the world, to things of the world, if you are living a life of sin, one of the great tactics, I think, of the evil one is to instill fear and anxiety. And I just saw these two very different encounters. We are created to live forever. You know, you're created for eternity. The choices we make on this side, the short little period of time we were chosen to live, have eternal ramifications. So live your life right, all right? Live it morally. You know, draw closer to God day by day. And those who have, and I'll talk about near-death experiences, I think maybe next week. Those who have had these near-death experiences, when you're right with God, they say passing from this life to the next, it's like just changing the frequency on a dial. It's peaceful. It's like stepping from one room almost into another. If you're not right with God, that transition can be terrifying. It can be filled with great fear, especially when you have that life review. Hey, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. On the other side, let's talk more about the miracle of the sun. Here's a weird question. Have you ever seen it? There was a Pope who saw it. I'll tell you about that. I know a lot of people today at some modern-day apparition sites claim to also have witnessed it. Stay with me.